This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Big Bear Mark.
This is Luke the Wonder Cub.
And this is a podcast for Brekkie Bears
on Joy 94.9.
You are on the Brekkie Bears with Big Bear Mark, and I am very excited because on the phone right now, I have one of my personal favourite bands, lead singer, and of course, great singer in her general right since then as well, Grace Knight from the Eurogliders. Yay! Hey, Grace.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so excited to talk to you. I have to say, I was a Eurogliders fan when I was going through high school and university, and this is a real thrill for me. So thank you very much for talking to me today.
Oh, well, thank you very much for us having this interview.
Brilliant. Now, look, I want to take you back because it didn't start in Perth in Australia. It started a little bit before that, way back in England, maybe in the 70s, I believe.
It did. I wish you hadn't said the 70s, but anyway.
Oh, I know. I was around. Don't worry. I'm in the same boat.
It did. It started way back then, in a talent. There was a national talent quest going through a Cooper's Brewery, a pub talent quest. And the first prize was £1,000. Now, back in the late 70s, £1,000 was, not to be sneezed at. Having said that, I was always surprised that my duo partner and I kept winning our heats, and we got up to the semi-final. And I just couldn't believe that we had a chance of winning this competition. So when an agent from London came to the semi-final and offered us a gig in Dubai for 3 months, I had to really convince my partner, come on, let's take the gig. We're not going to win the £1,000. And maybe we would have, but I didn't think so. And we would have had nothing. So I wanted to go on tour off to Arabia. And so we did. I got my way, thankfully. And that really was the beginning of my career, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, that it must have been a great adventure at the time, going off to Dubai. And now, and after Dubai, I believe you got onto like cruise ships, was that correct?
Well, when I went to Dubai, I was working on what they call a flotel.
A flotel?
What a flotel is, it sounds ever so posh. It was a decommissioned cruise ship on Dubai Creek. And, we just had to walk up the gangplank, and that was, there was the nightclub cabaret that we worked at. So once I really got a taste for traveling, and, it was so beautiful over there, and it was so different to me. I was on the outskirts of London, and now here I am in Dubai Creek, and hearing the mezzouin calling people to prayer, and sand and different colours. It was like, the world had just opened up to me, and I wanted to travel more. And I thought, well, this singing lark is fantastic. I could go to Australia and see my sister, who had left 3 years previous as a 10-pound pom to come over to Australia. So that was my next project, was to get a job on a cruise ship and work my, because I didn't have any money, but I wanted to work my passage over to Perth. And so then that was the next gig that I had.
Well, that's amazing. And of course, you did make it obviously over to Perth, because that's where you, and I did see in your bio, you worked as Maid Marian at Dirty Dick's.
I did. I was Maid Marian at Dirty Dick's. Look, it wasn't my bag, but the guys I worked with, the staff I worked with, were all just fantastic. And it was singing, and it was all grist for the mill, more performance. I was sort of, I hope I was getting better at performing. And being Maid Marian was, just another role. But it was a lot of fun. And then I, after that, I joined a band called Lumiere, where I met Bernie Lynch. And then he and I got together and...
Yeah, of course, Bernie Lynch was your big partner for Eurogliders.
We formed Eurogliders.
Yeah. And that's where the big success came, especially I was year 12 going through my high school certificate in New South Wales, and This Island had come out, and that was the soundtrack to my year 12 year. And when Heaven was released, it went nuts, didn't it?
It did. It did. It went ballistic. And, it's a great song, and you know, we still perform it today. Eurogliders have got back on the road, and we're travelling all over the country at the moment. And we have, Heaven, the moment that kind of do-do-do-do,
mm-hmm.
as soon as that rings out, the audience just go ballistic. And I'm so proud to have been part of your life and their lives. I'm really quite proud of that, and to have been part of someone's life, and it's a lovely thing. It's a good job I've got. You know, I make people happy for a living.
You do. You do indeed. And look, I mean, obviously, the band was together for 10 years.
Yep.
And so it must have been quite an amazing period of your life touring with Eurogliders.
Imagine being, you know, a 20-year-old flying to New York and in a band and, you know, wearing, you know, the most outrageous clothes. And, you know, if people didn't look at us, we weren't doing our job.
That's right.
I mean, I can't use the word on your radio, but, I mean, we were a bit, you know, uppity, I suppose. But having said that, we also had our feet on the ground. We weren't so ridiculous, but we really were living the dream and happy to be doing so.
Yeah, because, I mean, one of the highlights must have been you were on MTV's New Year's Eve show, which had an audience of 65 million viewers.
Yeah, yeah. And that was in the day when live television had really just started to, you know, MTV had only recently been released, you know, across the world. And so for Eurogliders to, MTV used to choose a band that they thought was going to be the next big thing that year and have them on the New Year's Eve show. And they chose Eurogliders. Here we were in New York, as you just said, performing to 65 million people across the planet. It was, you know, it was shocking. And I didn't have any monitors. I couldn't hear myself.
Wow, that must be...
I had to just get on with it. I was so frightened. I don't think I've ever been so frightened at a gig, because I had no idea... if I was singing sharp, flat, I had no idea what was going on.
And, you know, one of the biggest things you probably ever had done, and,
yeah.
Must have been terrifying.
It was terrifying. I remember I looked at Bernie and I said, I haven't got any monitors. And he would say, keep going. And I wanted to say, no, stop, because if we're going to do it, we're going to do it properly, you know. And he just said, keep going. And, I mean, he could hear me, but I couldn't hear me. So I was running all over the stage trying to find a sweet spot where, you know, I might be able to hear myself. But anyway.
Yeah. Now, look, obviously, after Eurogliders, you did set out on your own. And I have to ask you, because obviously coming from being a pop singer to going into that jazz blues area, and obviously with the huge success of the soundtrack for Come In Spinner as well, how was that transition for you? Because was that an easy one for you? Had you always liked jazz and blues, or was it something that came out of the blue?
It was something that came out of the blue, and certainly not something I had steered toward. It was just a door that was there that I had the opportunity to either walk through or walk past. And I only walked through it because I wanted the acting role, of Lola, the cabaret singer, in Come In Spinner, and that came with recording the soundtrack album with Vince Jones, who of course we all know is, you know, the velvety, wonderful voice jazz singer.
Exactly.
So I think intimidated doesn't even come close to describing how I felt. I was absolutely petrified. And I remember asking, Vince and I never sang any songs with each other. We recorded the album on rotation. And so when he was leaving, I was coming in. And I remember, so I didn't actually know him. And I introduced myself to him and I said, Vince, have you got any, can you give me any tips about singing this sort of music? And he said, yes, don't oversing. And I thought, great, is that the best you can offer me? But it was, having, you know, sort of sung in this area for the last 20 years, it was really, really excellent advice. And I, of course, I didn't realize it at the time. And it was, just stick with the melody. Don't oversing it. You know, pay homage to that beautiful melody that's been crafted by, you know, a craftsman. So, and I've actually kept that advice and done my best to, you know, pay respect to the melody and not, you know, sing all over it. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, there are some artists that just go in weird directions, I have to say. But, yeah, it's about sticking true to that melody and true to the music, really.
Well, yeah, unless you're going to, you know, do something, I don't know, if you're going to do something different with it, I suppose that's okay. But I think just for the sake of warbling all over the place or doing vocal gymnastics, I don't know that that pays any respect to the writer of that beautiful piece.
Yeah. Now, you did mention there that you did the album because you wanted to get into acting. Now, has acting been a bit of a passion for you? Because I believe you had a bit of a role on Neighbours.
I did. I was Val, the heartbroken wife of someone. I can't remember my husband's name. My dearly departed husband's name. I never wanted to be a singer. I've always wanted to be an actor. And the singing just took over. I imagined that the singing might be a pathway to acting. And, of course, you know, when I was, you know, young and cute in Eurogliders, I had many acting offers, roles offered to me, but none of them seemed kind of, they just didn't seem right. They didn't seem like the right sort of thing to do. Now, with the benefit of hindsight, maybe I should have done them. I don't know. Maybe I made the right choice. But I certainly stuck with singing. But I still love the idea of acting. I thoroughly enjoyed the whole, you know, the whole time that I've spent, or the short amount of time I've spent acting.
So do you think we might see Grace Knight in some more roles on television and film and stage?
Only if someone's brave enough to offer it to me.
I'm sure someone will. Now, look, you're not only a performer, singer, songwriter, actress, but you're also an author, a published author. You wrote a book.
I wrote two books.
You wrote two books.
There you go.
Yes.
You didn't know about that, did you?
I did actually see it on your website, but
I did. I look, you know, it doesn't mean I'm, you know, a great writer or anything like that. I've written a book of children's poetry many years ago, and then more recently I wrote a book about pretty much coming through, you know, coming through the legacy of childhood abuse. And I released this book a couple of years ago. And as a survivor of that, you know, abuse, I felt it was my obligation to write about the path that I went on to try to overcome that legacy. And I'm talking about, you know, all of my life, pretty much up until the last, you know, 8 years. And that's how long it's taken me to come out the other end of it. When I realized that it was actually quite a simple thing for me to do. I'm not trying to be prescriptive in my book,
yeah.
but it was actually quite a simple thing for me to do, and it was based in forgiveness. And once I had that forgiveness, everything fell away. It simply fell away. And it almost sounds too easy to be true or to be effective. But the actual fact of the matter is, not only was it effective in overcoming that legacy, but it was effective in opening up a whole new world, a whole new existence to me, being free of the legacy of childhood abuse. And I could have done that 30 years ago. I didn't, but that's why I wrote the book, because I know how many people out there are struggling to try and come out of the other end and try to find a way out of it themselves. And that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah, and excellent. And, I mean, I suppose it is, it's that journey, and you've got to be ready to forgive, I suppose, as well. There's always a time in life to do these things, and I think you've got to just be ready and be prepared for let that go.
Yeah, that's really easy to say.
Yeah.
With due respect, I do say that with due respect.
Yeah.
It's an easy thing to say, but until the person actually understands the concept of what you've just said,
yeah,
it actually doesn't make sense, because
okay.
People with that kind of legacy, the anger and the frustration that they feel from not being able to overcome it becomes theirs. And so they won't, once you start living your life through that legacy, that's how you recognize yourself. So it's not an easy thing to step away from.
Mm. Look, Yeah, it does make sense. It does make sense. Yes, definitely. Look, I do want to get on to a very important thing that you are doing now as well. You have a charity show coming up in Healesville on the 5th of September.
I do.
And proceeds of the night is going to a project in Kenya called, now, we were talking about this before we came on air, Chepkinoyo.
Chepkinoyo, that's exactly right.
Yeah, I got it right.
You did. So,
do you want to talk about A, the night, and B, also why this project is important to you as well?
Some friends of mine went to Kenya as volunteer teachers a year ago. The school that they volunteered at was pretty dilapidated, and this is in an area, you know, where there was a lot of violence 4 years ago. The community was very badly affected by this, and so the community are desperately trying to get these young kids educated, and we all know that, you know, education is the key. So the schools where they volunteered at, it was, you know, a tin shed, dirt floors, no windows, so it was incredibly hot inside these buildings. We're talking about between 3 and 7 year old children, toddlers, you know, sitting inside a tin shed in Kenya in the summer. If you just imagine that for a second. Anyway, so what we're trying to do, when Tom and Emily came back from Kenya, they decided that they were going to try to raise $10,000, which in our money is not a lot of money. $10,000 in Kenya will build 3 classrooms. Now, there's someone out there that's actually could afford to give that $10,000. Sadly, I don't know that person. So all I can do, and all my musicians can do, and all my community here in Healesville can do, is donate what we can. So in my case and my musicians, it's our talent. The Healesville High School are donating the auditorium. Shops in Healesville have donated products for us to raffle on the night. So we've already raised $3,000, which has set the groundwork for these 3 classrooms and purchased some bricks.
Fantastic.
Now all we need to do is on the 5th of September, I'm really hoping and praying that we can finish off and raise the rest, another $7,000, that will finish off these three classrooms. The money goes directly from me to Tom and Emily to the headmaster of the school. There is no one in between. There are no agencies or administration fees. So every ticket that is sold, that's how much goes to the building project. That school will be finished with $7,000. Already 75 children have registered to attend school. So anyone who comes on that night, the $25 for their ticket price, that will go directly to educating a young Kenyan child. So it's great. It's unbelievably fantastic when a community can get behind that for another community and give these kids an opportunity. So to get on to the night itself, we're going to have a lot of fun. And one of the reasons is that I'm not employed, so I can do whatever I like.
Oh, great.
Which I'm thrilled to say. So I'm not employed as a jazz singer, and I'm not employed as Eurogliders. So I can do whatever I fancy, which will be some Eurogliders, a bit of jazz, some songs I just love just for the sake of loving that song. I think I might take the audience off on a trip to Dublin, you know, through a couple of songs. I think we'll have a little sing together. But it will be very relaxed, and this is a one-off show. This show won't be seen anywhere else in the country because, as I say, it's a one-off night, and I'm going to do whatever I want and whatever the audience wants.
Fantastic. That sounds amazing. Now, you've got auctions on the night as well?
We'll have a bit of a raffle from the products that people in the Healesville retail have given us, which has been fantastic. I might go out and do a bit more begging and see if I can get some more things to raffle off.
Now, obviously, Healesville isn't that far from Melbourne, so look, get up to Healesville for the weekend maybe or something like that. But it's on Friday the 5th of September at 7:30 at the Performing Arts Centre, Healesville High School in Healesville. That's 10 Camerons Road. And you can get tickets through www.gracenight.com.au. Now, once you're on the site, Grace, I believe they've got to go to a specific spot. Is that right?
Well, as soon as they... as soon as my site opens up, you just scroll down to tour dates. The second date is Healesville Chepkinoyo Building Project. Just slide your cursor along to the dollar sign under the ticket column, press that, and then you're off. You're ready. You can just purchase your ticket there. That'll take you directly to your seating.
That's just...
Also, I might add, you'll see all the seats. And this is an auditorium, so it's raked seating. So all of the seats get a really, really good view of the stage.
It just sounds like an amazing one-off opportunity to come and see the amazing Grace Knight, of course. So get along, as I said, Healesville High School on this Friday, the 5th of September at 7:30. Go to gracenight.com.au to get your tickets. Well worth it. Now, Grace, I'd really love to talk to you in a month or two to see how you went and how's it it's going in Kenya as well.
Sure.
I'd love to have an update. That would be fantastic.
I would love that so much. When you go to this site that I've just sent you to, you can also read about the building project, and there will be other links to the actual site, and you can actually see photos of the kids and where we're up to with the building project too.
That's fantastic. And look, thank you very much for spending some time with me today.
Well, no, thank you, Mark. It's wonderful that you've given me the opportunity to let people know about this concert, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
More than a pleasure, believe me. You've made my day.
Oh.
This has been a podcast for the Brekkie Bears on Joy 94.9.
If you like our podcast, why not rate us on iTunes and Stitcher? Woof girl.
Woof girl.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.